Hi, I'm Rob Brown, and I'm your host of this Accounting Influencers podcast. Every week, you get interviews and insights from leaders and influencers globally about growth, leadership, talent, succession, tech, performance, and those special things that make the good accountants and accounting firms great. Enjoy today's episode, and let's get started. Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today for the second time an old friend, Heath Alloway. Good day, Heath.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Fantastic. Super to have you with us on the show. We've done an episode already, Heath, on one of your areas of passion, which is innovation. We're going to talk about that again today and how we turn those ideas into action. But briefly, just give us a quick recap on how you got to where you are today and what you love doing.
Sure, Rob. So one of the things that I still fall back on today was growing up in a family-owned business environment that really molded my future. I can even remember whenever my dad was approached about selling his business, just talking through that with him whenever I was in college, it really shaped some of my passions. And then I had the opportunity to join a great firm in 2006. And my whole background was focused on growth, especially around innovation. I just see similar to business development. It's an area where some firms struggle with and maybe have a lack of a process. In April, I took a leap of faith and joined Upstream Academy and taking some of my skill set to firms across the profession. And it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah, you're in good hands. Upstream Academy are a good friend of the show. We've had Sam Allred and Jeremy Clopton on with some great stuff. And today we're looking at how we turn those ideas into action. So before we dive into that topic, do you want to just give us a brief recap around the foundation of innovation and generating ideas in an accounting firm, why it's important and how they start going about it?
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. And just the definition alone, if you just go ask 15 people in your firm, more than likely they may define it different than the person you ask right before them. So you see the frequent misconceptions is around the innovation has to be a brand new invention or something new to the world. It's simply not the case. And I think that's where some of the fear comes in. You throw that word innovation in front of a word, all of a sudden people start to have a little bit of a pause if they have to come up with an innovative idea. That's one of the biggest things. And then we talked about different ways to build firm alignment to get your firm supportive and just building that foundation, making sure that they're willing to invest not only dollars, but probably the biggest area is capacity of some of your top people. We also got into what a lot of firms experienced the last several months with a pandemic was forced innovation. And I think firms found out that they were a lot better at change than what they initially thought. And they see that sometimes things that happen to our clients or maybe in our profession that we're going to have to be able to adapt in. We got into the idea that technology is not going to replace people. If things can be automated at some point, they more than likely will be. So we have to continue to get better at serving clients. That's a big opportunity for us.
And when we talk about growth as we come out of COVID now, there are many different ways for firms to grow, but certainly the wrong growth strategy is hope. Just hoping that things are going to get better, just hoping that things are changing. But we do find some firms like that, don't we, Heath, that are perhaps a little bit arrogant in their brand and market position or a little bit complacent in what they've got. And what's going to happen to them?
Rob, hope's a better virtue than it is strategy for sure. It kind of goes back to that mindset of keep doing things the way we've always done it. And that can be a dangerous spot to be in. When you're successful, it's hard to change. As we've seen, things can hit us at a certain time. If we don't have a process in place or we're not open to change or innovation, you can potentially be left behind. And if you weren't proactively reaching out to clients during COVID, in my mind, that was an open door opportunity to reach out to clients. It was a way to build on relationships in a whole different way on more of a personal level from empathy and perspective. It was a way to having those conversations and looking at new ways to serve clients. And if firms weren't doing that, I will tell you they're probably not having as good a year as many firms are. We're seeing in many firms that were proactive, they're actually having a pretty solid year. And that's great to see.
We mentioned last time about different ways to come up with ideas, but how do we make those more concrete, put some meat on the bones in developing them and turning them into, say, a new process within the firm or a new service for your existing client?
Right. And Rob, we got into three questions to ask on the front end. That's around, do our clients want it? Can we make money? Can we build it? And to take that to the next step, you go back to the idea of not focusing on our competition so much, but going to our clients and the idea of a prototype. So that's where going back, it could even be a sketch or a mock-up of what a service looks like. Identify five of your A and B level clients, your top clients that they want that advisory type service. Have those conversations with them. Start to see if there's any issues that they point out, or is it something that would bring value? Would it help them reach their goals? Would it help them solve their problems? Would they be willing to pay for. And it can kind of get your mind going on what this service will look like. We got into the principle of Stephen Covey of begin with the end in mind. That helps you visualize it, and then you can start building the idea. If you have those prototype discussions, they go well. That second level is where you could get in into more of a prototype where you're actually starting to build some functionality into the service line. Your top three or five A and B level clients to go test the service with, they're going to be absolutely critical in this process. They're going to help you build out the idea. Not only that, down the road, they'll be your best form of marketing. If the service goes well, you do end up launching it to a bigger market. Those are the clients that can be your referrals. Those are the clients that can be your references. Those are the clients that can provide you testimonials, and they will help you take that service to market. Not only that, they help you test it to help build out that service. So those are just two ideas to do this in a pretty time efficient and cost effective manner.
Yeah. So you're talking about their test in the market. How do you determine revenue potential on new ideas?
My first thought, Rob, and I know this comment may not be popular in our profession, but try to remove the thought of the charge hour, because if you tie it to a charge hour, you may be minimizing your growth potential. So your clients don't necessarily care about your realization. They care about how you're helping them grow and how you're helping their business. So you start thinking about the value you provide. And one question I would ask right out of the gates, Rob, to someone that approaches me with a new service idea is, looking at the pricing, how many projects would it take to get to $1 million in revenue? And if they say 6 or 7, 10,000, whatever it may be, that's an awful lot of projects to get to $1 million in revenue. So starting to think about, you know, even from like a data and analytics perspective of some of the technology, maybe there's a cost associated on the front end, but it can be very leverageable type work. So thinking about how you can build that leverage, how you can build that automation, and then focusing more on the value that you provide clients. If you can start thinking about that value pricing model, that can really tie into the profitability of a project or a new service.
Yeah. And we've done some shows on pricing. It is an important topic. It's one that accountants don't always get right. So let's assume that we've got a new service, we've got a new product, it's been developed. It needs launching. It's a well-kept secret at the moment, but it needs unleashing on the world. Any thoughts on how firms might do that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's another passion area is around launching new services. It's pretty exciting when you hit that point. So a couple of things to think about, Rob. If you look at buying patterns in our profession, we have a high integrity profession. The number one is people will ask other people who they use. So you think about those initial beta clients. Make sure that part of entry-level pricing for them, if they're willing to give those testimonials, those referrals, that's a big piece of it. But then on the other side of it, if you look at buying patterns, more searches online, more outreach through websites. I've seen firms go down the road of naming a new service, and it's something that even their internal people don't even know what it is. Maybe it's outsourcing and doing an SEO project to identify keywords that people are looking around that service. That can be pretty powerful whenever you're launching it on your website or press release or social media or whatever it may be. But the other part of this is think of your internal education efforts as well. This could vary depending on the size of your firm, but those internal education pieces, finding your internal advocates. If you can find people within your firm that are passionate about, willing to take it to their clients, that's a big opportunity whenever you go to market. In fact, I think that that's even probably more mission critical than it is taking it to a larger audience outside of your firm, because the internal support can be huge. I mean, you have so many opportunities with your current clients before even bringing on new prospective clients.
So where would you suggest, Heath, that a firm focuses the majority of their marketing time when they've got a new service to launch?
So initial phases would be on those A and B level, those test clients. And then the second part that we talked about was the internal education. But at some point, you are going to have to get to the external piece of it. So, and I know this may be different for various firms too, but if you have a marketing resource internally, bring them into the process early. Don't wait till the service is developed and then go tell them, I need a web page or I need a marketing sheet and it's launching next week. That's not the best way to go about it. And I'd say your early phases, so your first 60 to 90 days is that internal education piece. Make sure you have that internal foundation. So education around, I'll call it like a cross-serving guide. Give them key questions to talk to their clients about. See if it's an industry or service line meeting. See if you can get 30 minutes or 60 minutes on their calendar or their agenda to give the background. And don't get into the weeds of what technology or things like that. It's more of how you can help your clients and build that foundation internally. At some point, maybe it's that 90-day window, it's going to shift where it's more of that external focus. Creating a thought leadership type calendar for launching articles and the speaking opportunities. If you're considered an expert in an area, it doesn't solve all your business development problems, but it definitely helps because it gives you a certain level of recognition that can help your marketing efforts as well.
You bring up a good point too. A lot of firms, when they want to bring in a new service, they find one high performer in that area, one person with a strong personal brand or some expertise, and they throw it all on them. But it's more of a team effort, isn't it?
100%. There's a lot of risk of putting all that on one person, especially if they potentially leave the firm, then you're starting back at square one. Not only that, you're running the risk of the more you put on their plate, maybe the less effective they're going to be. So going back to that capacity discussion, one thing I would highly recommend, Rob, is, you know, out of the gates for whoever will be leading an initiative, this is going to sound simple, but just simply putting a job description together for them of what all that entails, and then an hours budget of where are you going to free up their time. And then that third area is around, you have to be very intentional about transitioning some of their workload to others. And you think about building out a team around a new service you may have internal people that would be a great fit, and they would see this as a great opportunity to grow in their career. So I've always been a big proponent on looking internally before going externally. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes it does work, but sometimes they're not a fit for your culture. And you run that risk of spending 6 months or 12 months on external, and then you're starting over again.
And picking up on your point of having internal advocates, there's so many great ideas in a firm that just don't spread throughout the firm. I remember a conversation a consultant was having with a large accounting firm, and he asked the executives there, how many services do you think your firm puts out there? And they had a little think, and they said 9. And he said, would it surprise you to learn that on your website it says you have 22? And a firm does have these great services, but they keep them to themselves, or they have no idea. They don't cross-sell it very well, if we can use that word. They're in these silos that we hear. They don't talk to each other about all the different ways to add value to their own clients. Maybe they hold on to their own clients too tightly and don't spread out. So what are your thoughts on that?
Rob, it's a really good point. And I think the bigger a firm gets, the harder it is to stay educated and in the know on all the various services. I'll go back to the core foundation and the culture of a firm. If you think about serving clients, climbing that one firm mountain, the power behind your firm and various service providers, bringing more people into those relationships, as a firm, you're going to be able to better serve any of your clients than any one individual. I think that's a key concept that people have to grasp, because I know that sometimes it's hard to let go of that relationship and bring others into it. The other part is around an education side of it. One thing to think about is even creating a resource center, if they have a firm intranet, on a short, quick educational video on what the service is, how it helps their clients, the cross-serving guides of laying out key questions you could ask clients, key things to look for opportunities within clients. We talk a lot about relationships with clients, but the internal relationships, it's amazing how big of an impact if someone is willing to start reaching out to other service line leaders or other industry or niche leaders and just having those conversations. And I don't want to say that that's business development, but in a way it's internal business development, and you're serving your internal advocates just the same as you would your clients. So the power of a firm is something that if you can wrap your mind around that, it's critical for firm growth and serving your clients of being educated on those services. But Rob, it's something that a lot of firms struggle with.
Heath, this is great. I know you're open to conversations with accounting people all over the world, and you love doing this stuff. You're reachable on LinkedIn. Upstreamacademy.com is a good way to reach you as well. Tell us about what gets your juices going with innovation. What resources do you turn to? Are there any quotes that you keep in mind when you wanted to come up with some fresh ideas?
I've been through this process of new services several times. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it. It's a learning experience, and it takes a while to get a new service developed. Taking that $1 million idea and bringing it to life, you get 3, 4, or 5 years down the road and you see the success. That's whenever you know it's all been worth it. And that's very powerful. And then there's a recent quote, and this is one that Jeremy actually shared with me. A lot of people going through with the pandemic, we don't reach for normal, we reach for better. I am not a fan of the new normal terminology. It's, if you reflect on life, things are always changing. Life's always changing. Business is always changing. So things are going to continue to change no matter if in a pandemic or it's after a pandemic or before the pandemic. So I just encourage people to continue to reach for better and not normal. Normal is a place of complacency. So, you know, that's a powerful mindset. At the gym where I go to, there's a big board that says never quit, because you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have people that don't want to implement or launch a new service, but keep with it. To be successful, it takes a lot of grit to get there. So having that kind of mindset of you're going to figure out a way to do it, that's a pretty powerful mindset to have as well.
Yeah. Heath, this has been terrific. Just leave us with some thoughts on why you are optimistic for 2021 and beyond for the accounting profession.
Yeah. I always try to be optimistic, Rob.
You're an upbeat kind
one of those
guy.
Deals. you have to. You have to.
But what's your justification for that, Heath? Because we're coming into some tough times, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And one thing I'll throw out there, Rob, is we talk about beginning with the end in mind and that big goal. I've seen a lot of people put out New Year's resolutions. If you focus on that end goal or that big picture item, if you get so honed in on the end, it's hard to see all the things that happen along the way. And in 2021, just focus on the small steps, the micro goals. Keep making progress. There will be setbacks, but just look at the next thing in front of you. And over a year's time frame, if you can make those small steps, those small goals, it'll equal something really big at the end of the year. year. So we can't lose sight of the small things that happen along the way and the journey. It's very easy to get wrapped up in the big picture.
Yeah. Well, Heath Alloway, that's been terrific. Thanks so much for your innovative ideas today. It's been great.
Appreciate it, Rob. I appreciate the invite. It's been a great conversation.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.